Today, we'd like to see the title over the works meet for repentance in Book of Acts, chapter 26, verses 1 to 32. To the souls on this online world through podcast or YouTube channel on the earth, we'd like to suggest the three exposition questions. Number 1, in verse 16, "But rise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness both of the things which you have seen and of the things which I will yet reveal to you." What does it mean in the context, and how can you apply it to our lives? Question 2 in verse 18. "To open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, and they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me." What does it mean, and how can you apply it to our lives? Last question in verse 20. "But declare the first to those in Damascus and in Jerusalem and throughout all the region of Judea and then to the Gentiles that they should repent, turn to God, and do works befitting repentance." What does it mean, and what can we learn from here? The king of Judah, Agrippa II, who was Herod, the great-grandson, came with Bernice, his sister, to new governor Festus at Caesarea. In the last time, Book of Acts 25, 26, 27, "I have nothing certain to write to my Lord concerning him. Therefore, I have brought him out before you, and especially before you, King Agrippa, so that after the examination has taken place, I may have something to write. For it seems to me unreasonable to send a prisoner and not to specify the charges against him." In the next day, Festus called all accusers and Paul in the auditorium before Agrippa. Festus persecuted Paul's case about nothing guilt to deserve death penalty, desiring a charge through their examinations to send Paul to Caesar. Paul had another opportunity to testify the life of Jesus from the dead before all of them. As we preach the word, not only in season, but also out of season, anytime, because a hearer might become born-again Christians or become mature from carnal Christian, if our Lord permits. Then Agrippa said to Paul, "You are permitted to speak for yourself." So Paul stretched out his hand and answered for himself. Agrippa, the king of Judah, and Bernice, his sister, came to Caesarea from Jerusalem to greet the new appointed governor, Festus. Cross-reference right there. Verse 2, "I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because today I shall answer for myself before you concerning the things of which I am accused by the Jews, especially because you are expert in all customs and questions which have to do with the Jews. Therefore, I beg you to hear me patiently." Paul expressed a compliment to Agrippa, because he, as the king of Judah, knew the scripture, all Jewish customs, and all issues relevant to them.
like Festus, the Roman governor. Verse 4 to 5. My manner of life from my youth, which was spent from beginning among my own nation at Jerusalem, all the Jews know. They knew me from the first if they were willing to testify that according to the strictest sect of our religion, I lived in our parish. Paul was born as a Roman citizen in Tarsus and grew up in Grecian culture. But his father sent him into Jerusalem to be educated under a Pharisee named Gamaliel. Paul testified to Jesus before Agrippa, Festus, and all the other audience, becoming a witness. 6-8. And now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made by God to our fathers. To this promise, our 12 tribes earnestly serving God night and day hope to attain. For this hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused by the Jews. Why should it be thought incredible by you that God raised the dead? Jesus was the fulfillment of the prophecies about the Messiah, which was proved by his resurrection. The whole Jewish nation was hoping, praying, and looking for Messiah. Why should you think Jesus' resurrection incredible, that God should raise the dead? Because you don't take God into consideration of nothing impossible to raise Jesus from the dead. You make the mistake of the impossible resurrection. Verse 9 to 11. Indeed, I myself thought I must do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. This I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints I shut up in prison have received authority from the chief priests. And when they were put to death, I cast my vote against them, and I punished them often in every synagogue, and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly enraged against them, I persecuted them even to foreign cities. Paul persecuted Christians contrary to the name of Jesus Nazareth, which is his religious duty as a member of the Sanhedrin court. Paul received authority from the chief priest and head of the Sanhedrin court to put Christians in prison and put them to death. Paul searched them in every synagogue, charged them to blaspheme, and very angered against them from Jerusalem to foreign cities. So Paul was no stranger to the Jewish animosity against the Christian faith. 12-13, when this occupied, as I journeyed to Damascus, with authority and commission from the chief priest. At midday, O king, along the road I saw a light from heaven brighter than the sun shining around me and those who journeyed with me. In the scope of his duty authorized by the chief priest, Paul and others such as to persecute Christians in Damascus, but they saw a light from heaven brighter than the sun. 14. And when he all had fallen to the ground, I heard a voice speaking to me and saying in Hebrew language, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It's hard for you to kick against the goats. All the pursuers had fallen to the ground, but Paul heard a voice in the Hebrew language, and Saul, Saul, why you are persecuting Jesus. The goat was a sharp stick used to kick cattle. Paul saw and heard that when Stephen was stoned and killed, he cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not charge them with their sin. Upon Paul's persecution against Christians upon his early belief in Judaism, they rejoiced to suffer for Christ's sake. Their faith was not forsaken by his persecution, but mostly ironically strengthened. So it's hard for Paul to persecute against Christians as it's hard for an ox to kick against a goose. Here Jesus said that Paul's persecution against them was his persecuting Jesus, because they were the followers of Jesus. The cross reference right there. Then verse 15. So I said, "Who are you, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting." Paul called Jesus as the Lord, being converted from Judaism to Christian, because he called the risen Jesus a light from heaven as a Lord by the Holy Spirit. Then, verse 16, question 1. "But rise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness, both of the things which you have seen and of things which I will yet reveal to you." Here, Jesus called Paul as a minister and a witness, both of the things which Paul had seen, the risen Jesus, as a light from heaven, and the things to reveal to Paul, the gospel of grace. Paul later confessed this calling separated from his mother's womb by his grace, also to every Christian God has already prepared beforehand that each should walk in the good works as a minister and a witness for Christ Jesus. For example, Esther called upon by Mordecai to go into her husband's care in order to countermand this decree under the guise of Haman. And it is interesting how that in just a few days she accomplished God's purpose in her life. That's her ministry for him. So through prayer and his words, we may find his personal calling to each of us as a minister and a witness. Verse 17, "I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles to whom I now send you." Jesus sent Paul to Jewish people and to Gentiles. The sent one is called as an apostle. Verse 18, question 2. "To open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive a forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me." Satan has blinded their eye to truth over Jesus Christ, the Savior. When you really look at the gospel of Christ, it is the most reasonable of that your sins, which you could ever have completely forgiven, like from scarlet sins to white as snow, crimson sins to wool. If God grants them repentance, they may know the truth, that they may sense and escape the snare of the devil and to be obedient to his will. Our Lord wants no one should perish, but all should come to repentance and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior. You are blessed because your transgression is forgiven, and then through your indwelling Spirit of God, you are sanctified by faith in Him, that is, in the gospel from face to face. When he is revealed, either physical death or rapture, you shall see him as he is. All of you are joint heirs of God with Christ as a fellow citizens with the saints and the members of the household of God. An incorruptible and undefiled inheritance is reserved in heaven for each of us who has a living hope through his resurrection from the dead to see him. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit because you were bought at the price of Jesus' bloodshed. So you should glorify God in your body and spirit, which are God's. That's all cross reference right there. Verse 19. Therefore, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. Paul had to obey the heavenly vision as a minister and a witness for Jesus' sake in verses 16 and 17. 20, question 3. But declare the first to those in Damascus and in Jerusalem and throughout all the region of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent, turn to God, do works, meet repentance. According to his will, through the heavenly vision, Paul obeyed to deliver his words to Damascus, Jerusalem, and the region of Judea, and to the Gentiles through his four mission trips. That they are exhorted to repent, turn to God, and do works meet the repentance. Even if we become Christians, we are still tempted by the devil, since the devil tempted even Jesus, who did not fall into temptation. If our works doesn't meet the repentance of undoubtedly sins, it be a question of the genuine repentance. So resist the devil through prayer, like in Jesus' name, bind the Satan. Withstand the living word of the truth relevant to your situation. And rejoice because Jesus has already gotten a victory against Satan through his resurrection. Today, in the world, there are more Christians than we often realize, but only a few are truly Bible-based Christians. So anyone who does err from the truth should be turned back to the truth by the whole armor of God, prayer, the word of God, faith, and so on. Otherwise, faith without works is dead. We are carnal Christians, not a witness for Christ. When Jesus is revealed, we are not rewarded. Therefore, go on to all the perfect or complete scripture from the principles of the doctrine of Christ or the gospel of Christ. For example, Apostles' Creed. So and so on. Verse 21. For this reason, the Jews seized me in the temple and tried to kill me. For Paul's obedience to heavenly vision, Jews seized Paul in the temple and tried to kill him. Therefore, having obtained help from God, to this day I stand, witnessing both to small and great, saying no other things than those which the prophet and Moses said would come. Paul was witnessing Jesus to all people, both small and great. The prophet Moses records in the scripture, God would send the Messiah, the anointed one, in the world. He would suffer for us, and his days are forever. That is, he's alive now from the dead, and so on. The cross reference right there. Verse 23, that the Christ would suffer, that he would be the first to rise from the dead, and would proclaim the light to the Jewish people and to the Gentiles. Jesus' death with bloodshed was for the Jewish people and the Gentiles, or for the world. And Jesus rose again from the dead. This is the gospel of Christ. If you believe in him, you have everlasting life. The gospel is simple or straightforward. It's free to everyone, but it costs Jesus' life. 24. Now, as he thus made his defense, Festus said with a loud voice, "Paul, you are beside yourself. Much learning is driving you mad." To Festus, a known of the scripture and of the resurrection, Paul's message in his defense seemed insane. Paul had risked his life for a message offensive to the Jews and unbelievable to the Gentiles in this world. But his rewards were so much in heaven. So we should learn this in this capitalism and materialism-minded world. 25-26. But he said, "I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak the words of truth and reason. For the king, before whom I ought speak freely, knows these things, for I am convinced that none of these things escapes his attention, since these things was not done in a corner." Paul courteously responded to Festus, the Roman governor, who was most noble, that he was not insane, but spoke the words of truth and reason in scripture, of which he convinced things were fully disclosed, not even in a corner, before King Agrippa. 27-28. "King Agrippa, do you believe the prophet? I know that you do believe." Then Agrippa said to Paul, "You almost persuaded me to become a Christian." Paul asked the king's belief of the prophet, being sure of the belief, but king answered that he was almost persuaded to become a Christian. What a tragedy when a person is brought close by the Holy Spirit, but the person refuses to take that step of entering into Christ. Because not to enter in, not to accept Christ, his dying without Christ and without hope leads to personal tragedy, disaster, and eternal condemnation. 29. Paul said, "I would to God that not only you, but also all who hear me today might become both almost altogether, such as I am, except for this change." Paul wished all audience, not just almost, but all together, to enter into Christ as Paul is, except his prison status, this change. 30-32. When he had said these things, the king stood up, as well as the governor and prince and those who sat with them. And when they had gone aside, they talked among themselves, saying, "This man is doing nothing deserving of death or chains." Then Agrippa said to Festus, "This man might have been set free if he had not appealed to Caesar." Agrippa, Prince, and others in judgment court who understood the scripture, Jewish customs, and relevant issues, talked among themselves that Paul was not guilty of death or chains. Then Agrippa the king said to Festus, the Roman governor, that Paul might have been set free if he had not made the appeal to Caesar. However, because of his appeal, Paul had a great opportunity to deliver the word of God to Rome without trip fare. His first mission trip, even as an arrestee, was an awesome God. All things work together for good according to his purpose, because Paul loved the Lord and was called by the Lord. So we covered all the questions. So you may continue to pray for all missionary, especially Iran. It's right now it's so difficult. Also, next year calendar still available, first come, first service.
So also this Sunday, Thanksgiving season, community, the service 3 to 4 headquarters. So also keep on praying for Peru and other Latin America to turn back to truth. James chapter 5, verse 19. May God bless you, everybody.